Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Having a clear conscience, it lifts a great weight off your back. Dread gives way to joy, and you can know you're in fellowship with God Himself. Today, how to keep yourself in that place of joy each and every day. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the power of a clear conscience. We've come to message number 6, where we'll learn about walking in the light. Turn to 1 John chapter 1.
As we continue our study of having a clear conscience, I hope that by now all of you have memorized the verse, which is really the key verse for us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Maybe in the next message I'll actually ask by a hand raised as to who has actually memorized the verse. For the goal of our instruction is love, which flows from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Without a good conscience, you cannot really believe God, you cannot have a sincere faith, and there's always something nagging. There's always a shadow on your soul. I want you to take your Bibles today and turn to 1 John, and you know that it is near the end of the New Testament, so if you have your cell phone, you have to go not to John, but to 1 John. 1 John. And we're going to look at the text of Scripture today, and I believe that many of you who are listening today are going to be facing issues that are very difficult to face, but I also believe that there will be deliverance that will happen in the lives of many who listen. In fact, I'd like to begin by pointing out how you can know whether or not you have a clear conscience. In 1 John chapter 1, the Apostle John talks about the fact that there was one generation of apostles who actually knew Christ. They touched him. And he emphasizes that because in his day there were some people who denied that Jesus actually became a man. Separate story. But John says that because we touched him and we experienced the word of life, you can experience him too if you listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. And then he says, the life was manifest. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. I'm already in verse 3. So that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. I need to ask you today, very pointedly, do you have fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ? Or can it be that you really don't because there's always a barrier, there's always an obstruction, something comes between you and fellowship with God? That's one way you can tell whether or not you have a good conscience. But there's a second way. You'll notice that he wrote these words. He says, I'm writing these things, verse 4, so that your joy may be complete. Joy is an indispensable mark of the power of the Holy Spirit. And joy, of course, to be distinguished from happiness, joy is something that we experience when the conscience is clear, when there's a relationship between us and God, and there is no cloud in between. Tell you what I want to do in this message. Let me give you two illustrations to help. Some of you, God bless you, you've fallen into a pit. You're going along the road of life, and suddenly you are in the ditch or a pit, and you can't get beyond either something you have done or something that someone has done to you. Well, we're going to investigate that today, and I trust by God's grace to help you on your journey. Or let me give you this illustration. Years ago, when I traveled, and I still travel, of course, but I used to have two briefcases, one when I traveled and the other when I would use it day by day. And there was a reason for that, because the one that I traveled with had certain things in it and so forth. So anyway, the plane is landing at O'Hare. And they come through and they gave me a sandwich. I remember it was a ham sandwich wrapped in, what is it called, saran wrap? Do I have that correct? And I didn't feel hungry, but I couldn't just throw it away. You know, you think of all those poor people who'd give anything for this sandwich. So I decided to put it into my briefcase to eat it later. Weeks afterwards, whenever I walked into my office, you know where this is going, there was this musty smell, and I couldn't detect where it was coming from. And then I traveled again, and there it was. Do you know what a sandwich looks like after it's been in a place at room temperature for a month? It is green, soggy, and very smelly. And you know, that's the way some people's lives are. They've taken their sin, they've taken the darkness, and they have wrapped it, they have hidden it, and they've said nobody is going to find it, but there's always an odor, always something wrong. You want to come to Moody Church to worship Jesus like we've been worshiping him, but they're in your mind. Look at what you've done, look at your past, and we're going to deal with that in the next few moments. Here are three steps that you need to take, all of them growing out of the text, and then we'll get very specific so that we understand how this journey happens. Number one, we need to know something about God, and there's some notes there that'll help you along the way. We need to know something about God. You'll notice he says in verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." God is light. Pure light. Pure reality. Pure brilliance. Pure holiness. And his light is such that he is intolerant of sin, and he actually hates impurity and sin, because there is no darkness in him, none at all. You know, this distinguishes the God of the Bible from pantheism. As you know, pantheism teaches that God is all and all is God. And if you read the literature, you discover that God has a good side. He is good and he is evil. The Bible stands against that. Like the pantheist said at a hamburger stand, "Make me one with everything," he said. That apparently floated past some of you, but you need to understand that in pantheism, there is only one. There's the big one, and that is God. In Christianity, what you have is God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We could even equate this with holiness. When men such as Isaiah fell on their faces when they saw the holiness of God, as you and I would do if we saw the holiness of God, because he is light, purity, and no darkness at all. Now, the question is, what about us? What about us? What kind of an obstacle does this create for us as individuals? There's something else you and I must know, and that is, we are darkness. We are darkness. You'll notice that the Bible says, by the way, that we are born in sin. We are by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. And the scripture talks about the fact that there are works of darkness. We don't have time to list all the references. But the Apostle Paul says, "You do not walk in darkness because you are light in the Lord. Don't walk in darkness, because we are born into darkness, and then we walk in darkness, and we justify our darkness, and we hide our darkness or try to hide it. And as a result, we actually lie." Bible says if we don't have sin, there may be somebody listening here. It says in verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar." First of all, we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves that what we're doing is justified, it is true, other people are doing it. If the light ever approaches, we tweak all the facts to make ourselves look good. And so we hide in this cave and we hide in darkness. We lie to ourselves. We lie to God and think that we can get by with it. We change the nature of God to accommodate our experience and our sin. Many years ago, I saw an interview with the pornographer Hefner, who said, "Oh, my God approves of my lifestyle." Notice what the text of Scripture says. If we say we have fellowship with him, this is in verse 6, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And there are people like that who claim to walk in light, and they have massive self-deception. The deceptions of our hearts, you and I can scarcely understand the kind of things of which we are capable, because we manage the darkness and we justify the darkness. Well, now the question is, how do we bridge the gap between us and God? Because God is not going to compromise his holiness and the fact that he is light. He's not going to say, "Well, I can accept a little bit of darkness over here." No, there has to be someone coming in between us and God who can mediate it and who can dissipate the darkness so that we can have fellowship with him. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I need to explain something. We're going to be going to a third step in a moment, and that is, of course, the famous verse in 1 John 1:9 about confession. But really, I'm preaching this message primarily to those of you who know Jesus Christ as Savior. John is writing to believers. If we confess our sins, he includes himself. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, your answer is not confession. In the next message in this series, I will tell you the story of a man who confessed his sins for up to 6 hours at a time and was not converted. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Thank you so much for listening to Running to Win. And most assuredly, you're going to have to listen as I continue on in this series of messages. And in the next broadcast, I'll help you to understand the difference between receiving Christ as Savior and the confession of one's sins. And later on, in another message, I will emphasize the man who confessed his sins for 6 hours at a time and still was not converted, still did not have peace with God. I hope you understand that these theological matters are incredibly important and practical, because we need to know where we stand with God so that we can have the full assurance of faith. This is actually part of a larger series of messages entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. Thank you to the many of you who connect with us, who tell us about the blessing that these messages are. And if you'd like to do that, you go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. Thanks also to the many of you who support this ministry, because without your support, we could not continue. Many of you listen to Running to Win, and you've listened for a long while and have yet never connected with us. Be sure to do that, even today.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, introducing Walking in the Light, another in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time on Running to Win, join us for more on the process of daily confession of sin. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the power of a clear conscience. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.